there, and welcome to another episode of Be Boomer Unleashed. I'm Jerry Lake, the Unleashed Baby Boomer, and I'll be your host today. And we appreciate you coming back to episode 12. We've been discussing for the past few episodes media, TV shows, movies, and video games from the 1950s up to our current time, and the slippery slope that we've been heading down from Leave It to Beaver and Father Knows Best to Sex in the Living Room. And we wanted to try to connect the dots today, if you will, if there are any dots to connect, between violent media, violent video games, and school violence. And we're going to share a few pieces of information with you today and next week and kind of let you make your own mind up for that. I have my opinion about it, and I'm sure you do too, but we're going to try to present enough information so that you can decide whether there's a correlation there and whether that is one of the causal effects of some of the school violence that we're experiencing today or whether there's not. And regardless of which way you decide, we want to put the information out there for you. And then next week in the final episode in this series, we want to talk about what we can do as parents and grandparents to try to stem the tide, if you will, of this phenomenon of violence in our schools today. Before we get into the discussion, let me remind you, as always, you can always find our podcast at beboomerunleashed.podbean.com. You can find us on Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, Tumblr, Instagram, and Google Play at beboomerunleashed. And why don't you drop us an email at beboomerunleashed@gmail.com. Once again, beboomerunleashed@gmail.com. Let us know what you think and some ideas for some possible episodes. Had a couple of good suggestions from a listener last week. What we might look at is what happened to Halloween. Not where did it go, but what's happened to it and how it's celebrated, if you will, today. How it used to be a fun time for little kids, and it's become a little bit more than that today, and that'll be a good thing to talk about maybe as we get closer to Halloween time. And what's happened to our holiday of Christmas? You know, used to Christmas was a very special day, not so much anymore. So we're going to talk about those things in future episodes too. And if you have an idea for an episode, if you'd like to be a guest on Be Boomer Unleashed, let us know. We'd be glad to talk to you and be glad to put you on our show. Okay, let's take a look, if you will, at some of the statistics that we have before us today when it comes to what kind of attacks have we had on our schools and what kind of violence have we had. You know, we think this is a phenomenon that's just prevalent in the United States. It's not. It's worldwide. And there are all kinds of attacks going on all the time, every day, at schools, everywhere. And it's not just guns. You know, a lot of people say, well, we need to get rid of guns. We have to have stricter gun control, and we need to take people's guns away from them. That's the problem. I saw an article the other day that some folks up in Sandy Hook are suing, I guess it's Remington Firearms, because those were some of the guns that were used there at Sandy Hook, and they want to hold somebody responsible that has deep pockets for that. My heart goes out to those people. No one ever wants to have to go through that, nor should they ever have to go through that. But when you blame a gun manufacturer for somebody using their product improperly to commit a terrorist activity, that's kind of like suing Ford Motor Company or GM if somebody gets into one of their cars under the influence of alcohol or drugs and goes out here and kills somebody with that car or drives it through a crowd of people or takes that Ford truck and makes a truck bomb out of it and blows up a bunch of people. That's kind of like suing the automobile manufacturer for somebody using their product improperly. Now, obviously, Remington didn't design those guns to go in and shoot people in schools or shopping centers or any other place. So to hold them responsible for that is, I think, rather absurd. But somebody's always looking to sue somebody, and they want to make an example of it. And every time we have one of these disasters, and they are disasters, any type of a bombing or a school shooting is a disaster. And it should never, ever happen. We shouldn't have to be subjected to those kinds of threats in our country. But every time something like that happens, the gun control people just go crazy and they say, oh, yeah, let's get rid of the guns. Let's get rid of the guns. But some of these crimes against humanity are taking place in countries that have the strictest gun control laws in the world. And you don't have to have a gun to create havoc. You can go into a church or a school with a hatchet or a crowbar and kill a lot of people. You can drive your car through the front door of the school with a load of explosives in it, and you can kill a lot of people at one time. It's not the gun that creates these crimes. It's the person behind the gun or the person behind the car bomb or the philosophy or the religious aspect of this person who is committing this heinous crime against humanity. Now, let's talk about just a few of the school incidents that we have in recent and not so recent history. You know, the largest group of children, people who were killed in a school, I think on record, is back in 2004, which was the Beslan school siege in Russia, where a group of Islamic terrorists came in and held about 1,100 people hostage for 3 days, killed, I think it was 334 people in that incident. And yes, there were guns used in that. There were also knives and other weapons. There were explosives. And that wasn't in the United States. That was in Russia. Try buying a firearm over the counter in Russia. You know, I mean, the only thing that locking down the access to guns is going to do, it's going to be detrimental to the law-abiding citizen who wants to own a gun for their personal protection or for sporting reasons, for hunting or for the shooting sports. It's not going to keep the bad guys from getting guns. People just can't seem to get this through their head. Back in 2000, there was over 160 people killed there in Indonesia at the Walsongo school massacre. And there were a group of people that came in there and executed, execution style, these children. In Sri Lanka, 158 people there at the Eastern University massacre. And the list goes on and on and on. In Pakistan, then you get down to the United States. The biggest death toll of people in the United States happened in 1927. Can you believe that? It's called Bath Township disaster, or the Bath School disaster. And that was in Bath Township, Michigan. And there was this crazy guy that was aggravated about losing an election, and he was aggravated about the raising taxes and all kinds of things. So he blows up the school. He just blew the place up and then killed himself in the process. And in that massacre, there were 44 innocent children and employees massacred and 58 injured. That was in 1927. And that wasn't a gun crime. That was explosion. That was blowing people up. But people think, well, this is just a new thing that just happens in the United States, and this is just new, and it's just all about guns. No. That's not true. Then in 2007, we, of course, have the Virginia Tech shootings. Remember that? 32 folks killed there and 17 wounded. And then the shooter killed himself, the murderer. I shouldn't call him a shooter. A shooter is somebody who goes out and shoots at targets, but this guy was a murderer and ended up killing himself. Then we have all over the country today, and in my own state of West Virginia, I'm sorry to say, campus carry was defeated in our legislature this time. We didn't get that bill passed. What father or mother would not want their son or daughter to be able to protect themselves on a college campus? We're talking about law-abiding adult college students given the permission to carry a concealed weapon to protect themselves against violence on school campuses. What if somebody there at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia, what if somebody or some bodies were carrying a concealed weapon that day? Now, there would have probably still been a body count, but it might not have been 32. Let's say it was only 31. If you saved one life because someone had a legally licensed concealed carry weapon to take action against that shooter, against that murderer, just one life saved, it would have been worth it, wouldn't it? But no, we want to let these soft targets, we want our schools, our churches, the many soft targets, schools, churches, playgrounds, shopping centers, movie theaters, these are all soft targets. Places where people kind of guess maybe there won't be any guns there. Well, you come to my church, you're going to face an armed resistance. I'm going to tell you right now, we have a security team, and we have people in that building who are armed and know how to use those firearms. So it's not a soft target. Somebody might view it as a soft target, but they're going to be unpleasantly surprised if they take action against our church. But a lot of people think, well, you just do away with the guns and that'll take care of the problem. No, it's not always a gun. Sometimes it's a knife. Sometimes it's explosives. What about 9/11? You remember 9/11 there in 2001? Almost 3,000 people killed. Those were airplanes. Are we going to outlaw all the airplanes? I don't think so. But that's the thing that we're, you know, it's almost impossible to stop a terrorist. Almost impossible. Terrorists are cowards, obviously, and that's the reason they fight the way they do. Try to create mass pandemonium, mass casualties, try to keep themselves from that harm until, you know, it's too late, and then they usually kill themselves. Then these suicide bombers, they're promised better afterlife if they kill the infidels. So, I mean, there's just the mindset of this terrible violence against humanity that's hard to stop. But is there violence in schools today? Absolutely. Not every violent act involves a gun. A violent act sometimes could involve somebody punching somebody else in the nose, throwing them against a wall, shoving them in a locker. There are a lot of violent acts that take place in our schools today. So I guess the question that we have as we go down through here and look at these, you know, we had our University of Texas tower shooting, 17 folks killed in Austin, Texas, and then in Parkland, Texas. Of course, Newtown, Connecticut in 2012, we had 27 people murdered there. What a terrible tragedy that was. The Parkland, Florida school shootings. But again, it's not just isolated in the United States. It's all over the world. As I look at this list here in front of me, Brazil, Algeria, China, West Germany, all of these places all around the world are subject, Israel, subject to violent terrorist acts. You know, why do people do this? Why do people do this? Well, we've been talking for the last few weeks about violent media and sexually explicit media, if those things have any effect or not on school violence or violence against humanity in general. I went to this website. It's called Pros and Cons. They have a lot of issues there that you can talk about. And there, for every pro, there's always a con or two. This had just a list of pros and cons. Do video games, do violent video games create negative behavior against humanity or against schools? Here's one of the pros. It says, playing violent video games causes more aggression, bullying, and fighting. At least 60% of the middle school boys and 40% of the middle school girls who played these games, these violent games, at least, at the very minimum, hit or beat up somebody, compared with 39% of the boys and 14% of the girls who did not play those games. So obviously a larger percentage who played those games acted violently against their classmates than those who did not. Then the con, somebody says, well, the sale of violent video games have significantly increased while violent juvenile crime rates have significantly decreased. Well, I don't know about that. They say that they're statistics are accurate. U.S. sales of video games, it says, and software increased 204% from 1994 to 2014, reaching $13.1 billion worth in 2014, while violent crimes decreased 37%, and murders of juveniles acting alone fell 76%. Now, you say, okay, looky there, you've sold more violent video games, but the crime rate has gone down. Well, has it? Has it? Maybe we've got less crimes reported. Sometimes you ignore crimes that really should be labeled as crimes. You know, if you make, you can do a lot of things with statistics. For example, you can go into a town where heroin is epidemic, Huntington, West Virginia. We have a heroin epidemic in Huntington, West Virginia. They published a statistic here a while back that 911 calls for heroin overdose had significantly decreased over the past year. The obvious conclusion of that is we have a handle on the drug problem. We have a handle on the drug problem because we're getting fewer calls now to revive people who have overdosed on heroin. Well, what they forgot to tell you was that during that same period of time, they made Narcan available to these drug addicts for free. You can go in and pick up a case of Narcan. You can go get something to give your drug infested friend to bring them back to life so you don't have to call the ambulance. So, did we take care of the problem? Or are we just letting them take care of it themselves? What is it? And it's a similar thing with this with school violence. Are we reporting everything? Are we reporting all these violent acts as violence? Or, are some of these kids getting hauled off to alternative schools so they're not in school? All right, these kids beat up kids, so we're putting them in an alternative school somewhere. Or they're in some sort of lockdown facility. So is that what the problem is? I don't know. But every time there's a pro, there's a con. You got to make up your mind yourself. One pro is there's a broad consensus among medical associations, pediatricians, parents, and researchers that violent video games increase aggressive behavior. Now, that's a group of people that, you know, probably know what they're talking about. I don't know. But then on the negative side of that, there's studies claiming a causal link between video game violence and real-life violence are flawed. So they say, well, that's not right. You know, you go on down and say, simulating violence such as shooting guns and hand-to-hand combat in video games can cause real-life violent behavior. But our U.S. Supreme Court, and certainly we want to listen to the U.S. Supreme Court, they ruled that violent video games do not cause youth to act aggressively. Well, if the Supreme Court said it, that must make it true. The Supreme Court said it was also perfectly legal to kill babies. And Roe v. Wade says it's okay to have an abortion. That's okay. So we got to listen to the Supreme Court. If they say that video games don't cause our youth to act violently, obviously that's the truth, right? Video games does not cause kids to commit mass shootings. Now, I am not going to sit here and try to tell you that every child who plays a violent video game is going to go out here and kill people. No, I'm not going to tell you that. That would be a lie. But it's interesting to note that a large percentage of people who have been involved in school violence were violent video game players. Let's look at a few of those. Adam Lanza, you remember that guy at Sandy Hook Elementary? He was a frequent player of violent first-person shooter games where you killed people. It was said that his existence largely involved playing violent video computer games in a bedroom. So he's behind the closed door playing a video game. That's a good babysitter for the kid, isn't it? And he acted upon that. Now, that's pretty hard to say that there wasn't some sort of correlation there. There's a guy by the name of Jason Holmes went on a rampage in a movie theater. You remember that? They're showing The Dark Knight Rises in Aurora, Colorado in July of 2012. Well, he was a frequent player of violent video games, including World of Warcraft. And this is a real addictive role-playing game. Jared Loughner in Tucson. Remember him? Shot Representative Gabby Giffords and killed six others in Tucson back in 2011. He was not only mentally ill, but he was a big-time video gamer. Eric Harris, based on his journal, a panel of psychologists, psychiatrists, and FBI agents point to Harris's contempt for others and his total lack of empathy and conscience as evidence of his psychopathic tendency. Guess what? He enjoyed violent video games. Elliot Rodger killed seven young men and women, including himself. He was hooked on violent video games from a young age, and from his own admission, he admitted hiding himself in World of Warcraft, where he felt comfortable and secure. So he felt comfortable and secure in World of Warcraft. Nehemiah Grego killed 5, including his mother, father, and 3 younger siblings. Guess what he loved to do in his spare time? Play violent video games. Even enjoyed talking about them to crime investigators. Jacob Tyler Roberts played violent video games. His rampage enacted at a violent scene in Grand Theft Auto. Anders Breivik shot 68 people dead at a youth camp on a Norwegian Labor Party. You remember that? Remember that? He went on this this youth camp, killed 68 people, shot them dead, and another 9 in bombing of government buildings. And according to the judgment rendered against them, guess what he liked to do? He liked to play violent video games. He actually used the video game Call of Duty to train for his shooting massacre. Michael Carmel, remember that guy? Shot girls as they prayed in a prayer group. Carmel never moved his feet during his shootings. Kind of reminiscent of somebody sitting in front of a TV set, not moving, playing a video game. He never fired far to the left or to the right, but instead fired only once at each target that appeared. Just as a player of a video game maximizes his game score by shooting only once at each victim in order to hit as many targets as possible. It's kind of spooky, isn't it, folks? Jose Reyes, a 12-year-old boy who opened fire with a semi-automatic handgun at Sparks Middle School last October, killing a teacher, wounding 2 students before turning the gun on himself, had watched violent video games for months. And the list goes on and on and on of young people who have been addicted to these video games, these violent video games, who have turned those video games into reality and killed multiple people. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of enough evidence for me to see that there might be a correlation between these video games, these violent video games, and these violent acts in school. Now, once again, let me say, I am not going to try to sit here and tell you that every kid who plays violent video games is going to go out here and kill somebody. I'm not going to tell you that because it doesn't affect everybody in the same way. Somebody might play violent video games all the time and be, you know, an altar boy at church or sing in the youth choir or be the youth leader at church. Who knows? I'm not going to tell you that everybody that plays these games is going to go out and do that. But it's kind of significant to understand that nearly everyone who has participated in these crimes have been gamers, have been violent gamers. I'm not talking about Mario Karts. I'm not talking about Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm not talking about Angry Birds. I'm talking about these violent games where you get points for killing people. That's what I'm talking about. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. And we're going to wrap this up next week. We're going to wrap this up next week, and then we'll be ready to tell you where we're going from there. But next week, we're going to bring you some information from a guy that I had the privilege of meeting some time ago, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. He's a retired military Army Ranger. And also, he was a West Point psychologist. And he talks about killing and what have we done to our children. I'm going to tell you a few things that Colonel Grossman says. And we're going to kind of put a ribbon on this thing and bring it to a close. You know, then move on to something else. Got a lot of things that we want to talk about. We've got some ideas that people have given us that we need to move on to. But I think this has been a pretty important discussion, something that we need to hear. We don't always like to hear these things, but I guess we need to hear them. So next week, we'll finish this series up, and then we'll talk about where we're going next. Well, hey, it's been great to be with you. I certainly hope you'll tune in next week. And for every episode of Be Boomer Unleashed, let us know what you think about it, okay? So until next week, have a great week together. And God bless each and every one of you. Thanks.